there is anything, it is unreasonable. I mean, we are unreasonable. And now what that means is we don't agree with them. I mean, that's what it means. You know. And really, you know, that's what we all believe. We all believe anybody that doesn't agree with me is unreasonable. You know, I am balanced. And it's all you who are off to one side or off to the left, off to the right, or whatever, you know. And if you would be reasonable, if you just agree with me, you know, if nothing else, just shut up and agree with me, you'll look intelligent. You know, that's what we think. And they talked to us, you know, you tell somebody now that you're going to be in church every night this week. Oh, man. I mean, they say, oh, that's unreasonable. Then you ask them why they didn't come with you Sunday morning. Well, I mean, that ain't unreasonable, is it?
Amen.
And you told them you're going to read your Bible. Well, that seems unreasonable. And so I'm going to talk to you this morning about being reasonable. All right? I am not going to talk to you about extreme Christianity this morning. I'm not going to talk to you about, bungee jumping for Jesus. I'm not going to talk to you about, some weird thing, some unreasonable thing. Look, what I'm telling you shouldn't get you put in jail, but it might. And I guarantee you, listen, people, the way this world's gone now, it ain't where you don't have to be active, an active Christian to have a problem. They won't let you be where you are.
Amen.
This crowd doesn't want you to, they don't even want you to carry that book. They don't want you to believe that book. They don't want you to acknowledge that book. And I'm telling you right now, they took a survey, and I don't think much of the polls, all right? You know, all this stuff, this junk that's going on, man. You know, this thing with the election, all you're going to decide in 2 weeks is whether you want Clinton to cut your throat or you want Bush to cut your throat. That's all. It's just a matter of who gets to hold the knife, man. It ain't going to be, you know, just you want a Democrat to kill you, you want a Republican to kill you. If you want, you can have a millionaire, billionaire kill you. You know, he'll be more than happy to do it. But he's good at getting money. He's got enough R's, I guess. But I want to talk to you about being reasonable. And just some things, some areas in your life that you ought to be reasonable about. First one is in Isaiah chapter 1. It says this in verse 18, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Let's bow our heads. Father, it is good to be in church. And Father, I'll tell you, it is going to be as good to be in church tonight as it is this morning. Father, it'll be as good to be in church on Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night. God, it is good to let the world just not understand. And it is good not to fit in. And it is good to have your book. I ask you now, Father, please, I ask you to set Sam Gipp aside. I ask you, Father, to speak to the hearts of your people. God, if there's anybody here not saved, they need to be saved.
Amen.
God, get the saved folks living for you. And Lord, you show them what is needed in their lives. In Jesus Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Now the first thing it says here, it says, "Come now and let us reason together." And God is not a reasonable God. He said, "I will reason with you." Now he said,
Amen.
He said, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." First thing I would say is, you ought to be reasonable about salvation. It's only reasonable to get saved.
Amen.
It is only reasonable. Now, I want you to notice something about that verse. sometimes you see the wordless book. Now, I'm not on a campaign against the wordless book. I know you know that it starts out, I can't remember exactly, but it's sin is black, and the blood is red, and then that'll make you white as snow. And then you have green for gold growing, and then gold because you're going to have a mansion over the hilltop and all that stuff. The only problem with that book, and I understand why they did the sin is black, because it's hard to compare it. It's a good way to compare it to the blood. But the fact is, sin ain't black, pal. Sin's red. That's what the book says, isn't it? Doesn't say your sins are black. Says your sins are red. And I used to paint cars. You know you can't paint a red car white. You cannot paint a red car white. You take a red car, I don't care how well you sand it down, man, you paint that thing white, you know what you'll have? You look like you work for Mary Kay, buddy. I mean, you'll have you a pink car, brother. That's all there is to it. You can't paint a red car white. You have got to seal that red. You have got to do something with that red so that the red never touches the white, because if the red touches the white, it'll bleed through. In fact, red is called a bleeder. All right, your sins are red. Now look, if you're here this morning, in the eyes of God, you're easy to spot.
Yeah.
You are easy to spot. Because when God looks down here, you know, we say, well, you got black folks and white folks and red folks and yellow folks, and who knows what'll step off a flying saucer next. But as far as God sees, man, they're only red and they're white, and that's all there is to it. You're either washed in the blood of Jesus Christ or you are not washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, it is only reasonable to get saved. It's only reasonable to choose heaven over hell. Now, that's only reasonable. You know, I hear these people say, oh, well, I'll go to hell. I'll just party with all my friends. No, you won't. No, you won't. Man, first off, you know what happened to you? Some of you are going to go to hell, find out some of your friends went and got saved, never told you, so you ain't going to party with them.
Amen, brother.
All right?
Yes, sir.
But I'm going to tell you, man, if this building was on fire, if this building was on fire right now, nobody would be thinking about partying. The only thing you'd want to pass is the fire extinguisher. The only thing you'd want to do with your friend, you'd put your arms around him so you hauled him away from the door so you could get out first. You get in a place where it's all burning and fire and screaming, pal, I'm going to tell you something. It's not party time, it's suffering time, and it's going to last forever. Now, I'm telling you, man, it is only reasonable not to choose that. That's only reasonable. That only makes good sense. I read a book by G. Gordon Liddy. I don't know if you read it. It's called Will... Should have been called stupid, all right? Should have been called jerk. And G. Gordon Liddy fancies himself some kind of guy made out of a granite or something, and I really believe at least his head is. But the guy is an absolute nerd, man. I'm telling you, he is. And he was someplace, and somebody was stealing gas out of a car he had or something. He ran out there, and they as they drove off, they bumped him with the car. And he was giving an interview. He says, now an ordinary man would have been killed when I was hit by that car. I said, man, you let me hit you by a car, sucker. I'll back up and kill you if I have to. You ain't get up talking about it after I hit you. But anyway, he was telling how to show he was a man. He'd have a candle there. He had this girl out on a date, and he was going to show her he was a man. So he had this candle. You know how they got you have a candle, be romantic. And he said, I want you to know what kind of a man you're out with tonight. And he held his hand over the candle. And I mean, his flesh is burning. Now, she was not impressed. I mean, you know, she thought she was going to order food. Didn't think they could cook it right at the table. And and he couldn't understand why she wanted to go home and never wanted to hear from him again, man. It's because she had good sense, all right? Now, I don't know if anybody says, well, I'm just going to try a tough fight. Oh, I'll tell you what you do, man. Douse yourself with gasoline, stand in it. That still ain't hell because that will stop.
Yeah.
Amen.
It is only reasonable to choose heaven over hell. It's only reasonable. I talked to a guy one time on that street preaching. He said, you know what you guys are doing? You're trying to scare people into getting saved. I said, hey, man. I said, I'd take them in a wheelbarrow if I could. All right? I really would. I don't care, you know, if that's what you got to do, throw them in there, we'll wheel them up, and we'll get them in. But I said, when you reject Jesus Christ, when you reject fellowship eternally with God, when you reject a brand new body, when you reject a mansion in heaven, when you reject a place where there's only joy and peace and glory, I said, I got news for you, pal. You ain't got nothing left but hell. All right? I said, if that's what you want to choose, that's your business. But I'm telling you, people, anybody who goes to hell goes there against reason.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to go to hell and turn around over their shoulder and look back and say, well, I showed them Bible thumpers. Well, I won this one, didn't I? I won this. Whoa. You know what I'm saying? I mean, nobody's going to get there and say, boy, I guess I won that argument. It is only reasonable to want to get saved. God said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool.
Yeah.
Let me say this. If you're saved, it's only reasonable to want to be clean.
Amen.
It's only reasonable. Hey, listen, lost or saved, I'll tell you what, buddy. You go to bed with unconfessed sin, you ain't happy.
Yeah.
There's only two kinds of sin in this world, people, and not mortal and venial, all right? The only two kinds of sin in this world are the sins you brag about and the sins you're ashamed of.
Yes.
Now, I bet you I got a crowd in here that there's some of you sat around a bar one time and you bragged about some sins. And you guys, you swapped stories about sin and you bragged about sin and you boasted about sin. And all the time you knew something about yourself you didn't want anybody at that table to know about. What I'm saying is this, if the person sitting beside you right now knew about you, what you know about yourself, they'd move over.
Yeah.
And it ain't because that they're better than you, they're as wicked as you are, just they'd feel a little better about it, all right? And people, what I'm saying is this, Anybody, hey, listen, I mean, I used to go out there, you know, and I'd mock and I'd get with my guys, I'd laugh, I'd joke about our sins, but I'd lay down on my bed at night, man, I'm telling you, them chickens come home and they'd sit on my chest and God would let me know about my sin, and I was absolutely miserable.
Amen.
You know what, when I found out I'd get rid of all that, it only seemed reasonable to get saved. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said that your sins can be taken away. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I mean, it is only reasonable to turn your back on what made you unhappy anyway.
Amen.
I mean, man, you get that party crowd, Joe. I got news for you, man. You get tired of partying.
Yeah, amen.
I'll tell you something else, son. This year you're supposed to say this outside. They won't believe it. You get tired of sex.
Yeah.
You will get tired of everything this world offers you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You'll get fed up with it. You'll get tired of it. You'll get bored with it. And I'll tell you something. You'll realize that it doesn't satisfy. Sure. What you're going to find out is that if you'll trust Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you'll find satisfaction.
Yeah.
Right? You want satisfaction? You turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, man, I never thought I'd find satisfaction at church.
Yeah.
Buddy, I tell you what. My 19th year on this earth was the worst one I ever had. And I told God, if my 20th wasn't any better, I'd see to it, I'd blow my brains out before the year was out. So you know what I did for my 20th year? I took the things that made me miserable and doubled them. Does that make sense? That's like saying this. Well, this hurts. Now, I've got to do something to stop this from hurting. Now, if you saw a guy doing that, man, if you saw a guy standing with a ball-peen hammer going, man, I got to stop this pain. You say, that guy ain't got good sense. Oh, it's as much sense as what the world's got.
Yes, sir.
Buddy, you know what? They're unhappy. So you know what they do? They go to the same trough, man, and they put 2 feet in it and eat the same slop that made them unhappy before, only twice as much.
Yes,
now, I'm telling you, man, it is only reasonable to want your sins forgiven.
Amen.
It is only reasonable to want your sins forgotten.
Amen.
Yeah.
God says, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more.
Amen.
I got news for you, man. You turn that down, you're unreasonable. All right? And if you're here today and you're saved, you say, well, I'm saved, preacher. I'm already on my way to heaven. Then get rid of your sins.
Yeah.
I mean, you might be saved, man. You still got some things in your life that ain't right. That's not reasonable. It is only reasonable to get saved. And it's only reasonable to want to be clean.
Amen.
I want you to look at Romans chapter 12 with me. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Yeah.
Then it is only reasonable to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's only reasonable. You know, you go out there, you tell the world, you can tell half the Christians, man, they ought to be living for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll think you're unreasonable. Well, who are you serving?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'll take my God to their God.
Yes,
and I'll tell you, you can be saved having the wrong God.
Yeah.
There's a lot of saved folks, man, that aren't serving the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
They have got him as Savior. They don't have him as Lord. All right? They don't have him as King. They don't have him as God. And I'm going to tell you right now, man, I know who I served before I got saved.
Yeah.
And I was so stinking unhappy, I don't want to go back and serve him again.
Yeah.
It is only reasonable to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, man, nobody loves you like he did.
Amen.
Nobody.
Amen.
Like I told you. Person beside you knew about you. What you knew about yourself, they move over. You know what real love is? Real love is not when somebody is good to you because you're friends and you like each other and you're buddies and I did something for you, so you do something for me. That ain't real love, man. That's a business proposition.
Preach it.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Real love. Ladies, real love ain't being swept off your feet.
Yeah.
Real love is when somebody knows the truth about you and sticks by you anyway.
Amen.
Amen.
Real love is when somebody knows you as well as you know yourself and they don't turn around and walk out the door. That's real love.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something, friend. If the Holy Spirit of God were in this room right now, and he took one look at this crowd, including me, and said, I ain't sticking around this crowd, and walked out that door, he would only show his good case. Ain't nobody here could gripe.
Yeah.
And anybody here could say, that could demand of him, get back in here, you owe me an audience. Listen, if he walked out of here, if he turned his back on us, and he could do it on the weight of any sin of any one individual in this place, listen, he would only show his good case and his righteousness.
Yeah.
What's the book say? But God commended his love toward us in that. Here's the five words, man. These five words turn me on. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. Listen, God didn't tell you and he didn't tell me, cut your hair, put on a suit and tie and meet me at church. Amen. God didn't tell you and he didn't tell me, jump on the Ten Commandments and do the best you can and get about halfway there. I'll help you along the rest of the way. God never did that. You know what God said? God saw you when you were at your worst. God saw you when you were not only, everybody else would be ashamed of you, but you were ashamed of yourself.
Yeah,
know what he said? Shall die for you anyway. Now I'll tell you something, bud. You don't serve somebody like that. You don't serve somebody who loves you like that. You're a fool.
Amen.
All right? This crowd out here said, well, you know, I've got things to do, you know. I've got some plans and I've got some goals. I don't. Maybe my plans are better than yours. Maybe my goals are higher than yours. But I'll tell you one thing for sure. I know my God's better. These people say, well, you know, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to try to get a buck here. I'm going to try to do this. You can get anything you want, buddy. I'm going to tell you right now, your God's going to burn. If your God is just this material world, my God will set it on fire. And if your God's a devil, my God will can your God into hell. And he's still going to burn. I'm telling you, any God out there is going to burn except the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And it is only reasonable to serve him.
Glory to God.
It's only reasonable to serve somebody that saw you when you were at your worst and didn't kill you.
Yeah.
And put you in hell where you ought to be now. It is only reasonable to serve that kind of a God. It is only reasonable not to serve what messed you up before. I don't make any sense, man. I don't make any sense. I mean, how you can say, you know what tore you up. You know what ruined your life. Some of you men, it was tearing up your health. It was tearing up your marriage. It was tearing up your life. And what do? You get saved and you go back.
Come on.
I'll tell you.
Preach, brother. Amen.
Now, I'll tell you, peanut butter and jelly is nice. It is. It's nice. But man, after you find out about T-bone steaks, I have never gone to a restaurant and ordered a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Hey.
I've gone to some that had them. I have. I've gone to some that had them. I have. Say what? Well, I've had something better, man. I mean, I like something. I mean, I don't want all my food to look like it just went through a grinder, through blender, you know? I see some of these people, you know, that's how some people are about their Bible. Well, the King James Bible is too hard to understand. Well, look, man, chew on it for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, man, I don't want to suck my supper up through a straw. You know, I mean, I quit eating out of them little jars about that big that were just like green drywall mud and orange drywall mud and blue drywall mud, you know, had a little fat baby's face on it. Hey, man, I don't want to suck up my supper with a straw, all right?
Amen.
I turned my back on that for something better.
Yeah.
You know, there's people who got saved, and they went right back serving the God that made them unhappy.
Yeah.
Now, you talk about unreasonable, buddy. That's unreasonable.
Amen.
That is unreasonable. That is like saying, man, I'm eating peanut butter jelly sandwiches and griping about it, and somebody fixes me a big old T-bone steak. I mean, medium rare, brother. I mean, just sitting there in the juices. I hope you all get hungry. And and you eat that thing and say, man, would I sure like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
No. Nothing.
I'd say, I tell you what you do, pal. You get you your peanut butter and jelly. Get out of the way. I'm a Baptist preacher. I'll show you what to do with a dead cow. It is only reasonable not to serve the God that messed up your life. Listen, I know this is true, and I don't know your individual lives, but I know that every person here, if the devil had his way, he'd have used you up, and when he was done, he'd have crumbled you up like an old empty cigarette pack and thrown you alongside the road. He wouldn't even have said thank you. You sit there and say, well, I'll serve the world, and I'll serve the devil. Why? They won't appreciate it anyway.
That's right. That's right.
What do you think? You're going to take some, go up some spiritual corporate ladder or down some spiritual corporate ladder for the devil? Man, listen, he'll use you up, and when he's done, you'll look like some of them movie stars out there. All you'll spend is more on makeup. You'll have to make facelifts. I'll put zippers back here to pull you tight. It's unreasonable. That's unreasonable. It's only reasonable to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this. If you ain't serving Christ, who or what you serving? So, I'm just not serving anybody. Don't kid yourself. Go look in the mirror. You'll find at least one fool that you're following.
Amen.
You're serving somebody with your life. There is somebody you want to please.
Yeah.
And the majority of people, it ain't husband, it ain't wife, it ain't even the devil. The majority of people, it's a person whose hair you comb, whose teeth you brush.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The majority of people serve themselves above God. They serve themselves above their families. They serve themselves above their spouses. They serve themselves above church. They serve themselves above the devil. I'm telling you, I love what the devil, I'm not giving him any grace, you know. But a lot of what he gets blamed for, he ain't even been in the same county when it happened. Somebody said, well, you know, the devil's just got a hold of it. That devil ain't even around, man. He jump-started you. You've been running fine by yourself. Now, you go out here, man, listen, you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, or you will serve yourself, or you will serve the devil. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to serve somebody. You say, well, I'm a free man. You ever notice how all the free men look the same? Yeah. Always like the individuals, man. You can always tell the individuals because they all look alike. All the individuals now, like you said, brother. Now, it's the first time I've been in Norfolk in 2 years, right?
Yes, sir.
And he said, why they put the hat on sideways? Well, Norfolk ain't the only place they do it.
Yeah.
I bet all them individuals out there got at least one pierced ear. Isn't that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they're all individuals, you can tell.
Yeah.
Because they all look the same.
Yeah.
All went around there, you know, with their shirt unbuttoned and their sister's or their girlfriend's necklace around her neck, you know. You can always tell an individual, man, because they all look the same. Now, I've got to have clothes on it that look like some blind man dressed them. And I'll tell you what, brother, I mean, it's enough to make you thank God for blindness, too. I'll tell you that.
Amen.
You're serving somebody.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And you'll be a fool for somebody.
Yes, yep.
You're seeing fanatic. Now, again, you tell everybody, say, tomorrow night, you know. Somebody says, hey, come over to my house Monday night. You say, oh, gee, I'm going to be in church. You're going to be in church on Monday night? Yeah, I'm going to be in church on Monday. On Monday night? Yeah, on Monday night. Well, okay, listen, while we get together Tuesday night, I'm going to be in church. You're going to be in church on Tuesday night? Yeah, I'm going to be in church on Tuesday night. You're not going to be in church on Wednesday, are you? Yeah, in fact, I'm going to be in Wednesday. That'll be the Thursday. So listen, how about we get tickets to the game Friday night? Oh man, I'd love that. But I'm going to be in church. Now first off, let me say, being in church on Friday night's a whole lot better than what some of you did on Friday night.
Amen.
But you know what that guy's going to say to you? He's going to say, what? You're a fanatic. If he hears some of you say amen, see you preach on the street, he'd say, you're a fanatic. No, no. You know what I got here? Now, if you can't see that, I'll show you later after church for $1 a piece. But anyway, this is January 27th, 1992. This is this year. This is out of a Minneapolis paper. And this guy was a Buffalo Bills fan. I know they played in the last Super Bowl because I got the picture right here. Now, what I've got is a grown-up. We're not talking about a kid. We're not talking about the last day of October. We're talking about a grown-up in January. This guy has his face painted red and white. Then right here on his cheek, he has a Buffalo Bills helmet that says Bills underneath. He's got sunglasses that have a buffalo on the front of them. He's got a baseball hat with a buffalo headdress on and red, white, and blue streamers, real man, coming out the back of his hat. You know who he is? He's the guy that would call you a fanatic for being in church 7 days a week. I know boys in Minneapolis. Now, he came there from New York. He probably, if he flew or drove, and I don't know what them Super Bowl tickets cost. I don't know what the hotel bills cost. I don't know what the food cost. But I'm telling you, that guy probably spent a minimum of $1,000, minimum, to dress like that and look like that and get his picture in paper. And you know what? You ever notice in a football game when the camera hits these guys, they go wild. I mean, listen. If I dressed you up like that and made you walk down the street, and somebody's coming down the street, you go. Right? Right? Look, this guy, here's a camera. I'm from Ohio, man. Cleveland Browns, man. They put dog heads on, eat dog bones in front of a TV camera. And you're a fanatic for saying amen in church.
Amen.
I'll take my God to his. I'll take my God. Listen, buddy, I wish you'd spend on God what this guy wasted on his God. I wish you'd quit worrying about what somebody thinks of you like he quit worrying about what people think of him. I'm telling you, people, I wouldn't walk down the street dressed like that. I saw this guy's happen. We were walking down the street, we're at this place, and it was raining. And I know what happened. There was a man and his wife and his daughter. And the man and wife had a big old black umbrella, you know, that would take care of them. And his daughter had this Mickey Mouse pink flowered, whatever it was, you know. And it just wasn't doing the job for her. So he gave his umbrella to his wife and daughter. Oh, yeah. And I'm walking down the street. We're walking up this way. And here's his wife and his daughter like this. And here's this guy, man. You know? And he's got this pink flowered Mickey Mouse, whatever it is. And I'm telling you, he ain't saying a word, but he is pleading with me not to say a thing. Yeah. I mean, he wanted to crawl inside that umbrella, you know? And he's looking at me, and he's just, I know it, man. He's just saying, oh, don't say nothing. Don't say, act like you don't see it. And he's looking, and he's holding this umbrella. He's looking at me. And I got right beside him. I went, nice umbrella. The guy likes to melt it, man. Well, that's how you'd feel, isn't it? That's how you'd feel like this. Hey, man, don't you worry about serving Lord Jesus Christ. You ain't this bad yet.
Amen.
You ain't that bad. You ain't a fanatic. Amazing what people call fanatic.
Amen.
I'll take my God to his.
Amen.
I want you to look back to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. You'll be reasonable. I'm telling you, people, that's only reasonable. I'm not talking about extremism. I'm talking about being reasonable. It is only reasonable to want to be saved. It's only reasonable to want to be clean. And it is only reasonable to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with your life. Chapter 17. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. And here he had a three-point message, opening and alleging that, one, Christ must needs have suffered, two, and risen again from the dead, and this was the point them Jews had trouble with, and three, that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. But I want to say, notice what it says, verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scripture. People, it is only reasonable to study that book. It's only reasonable. You know, if there's anything that makes us different from the rest of the world, it's our book. It ain't our lifestyle. I got bad news for you, man. There's Mormons don't drink coffee and smoke.
Yeah.
All right? I mean, there are some dedicated lost people. People who are dedicated to their religion. And there are people that dress, hey, look, man, you want to see somebody dedicated to their religion? I don't know if you got them around here, but you just hit Pennsylvania to go to Ohio. You watch them Amish folk.
Yeah.
There ain't none of us dedicated to our religion like those folks are.
Amen.
You ain't going to get rid of your car and you ladies use nothing but pins on your dresses and wear little beanies on your head and you guys, you know, will run around a horse and buggy. You talk about dedicated religion. The difference is our book. We are supposed to be Bible people, right?
Yeah, amen.
It is only reasonable then for you to know the book you claim to believe. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Could you imagine me saying I'm an airplane fan and don't know nothing about airplanes? Could you imagine me saying I'm a car buff, don't know nothing about cars? You get some of these guys out, you gotta crowd this big, somebody's just a computer nut. I mean, man, they know about megawatts and mega hoots or whatever they are, boy, and I mean they can tell you, know, how big is the RAM and how big is this and what's your memory, and man, I got no memory at all. And man, I mean my hard disk crashed years ago. But I'm saying that, man, when you give yourself to something, somewhere along the line, you're going to know something about it.
Yeah, amen.
Isn't that true? You know, it's only reasonable for us to study the Bible. It is only reasonable. Now, you got good teaching this morning. Brother Mahan did a good job. I know when your pastor preaches, you get good preaching, but I got news for you folks. You don't eat one meal on Sunday and go the strength of it. Go the rest of the week to the strength of it. I don't care if it is peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. You're going to have to feed yourself somewhere
yes,
during the
sir.
Week.
Yeah.
It is only reasonable that we spend some time in this book. Listen, I talk to all of them. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's bodybuilders. I don't care if it's computer programmers. I don't care if it's car nuts. I'm telling you, when you give yourself to something, when you really say that's what you represent, it takes some time and some money and some dedication out of your life. We say we're Bible people, yet we can take that book home this afternoon, we can put it on the counter, and if it wasn't for a revival this week, some of you wouldn't pick it up till Wednesday night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How can you say you believe this book? How you say, we're King James people.
Sure.
We're not like that crowd down the street. Uh-huh. Why, hey, use the NIV. Why use a King James Bible? Why, the people, they don't even read that NIV. And I don't read the King James Bible. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, bless God, if I'm going to ignore a Bible, I'm going to ignore the real Bible. I'm not going to ignore some perversion. I'm going to ignore every word of God. You see that, people? That don't make no sense. You ought to know something about this book. And I'll tell you, you know, sometimes all we learn... You know what's crazy? Now, I'm going to tell you what's nutso, bud. What's nutso is people will... We will read a book about a book that we won't read.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's good.
I'll tell you what. I'll check out your library, man. I mean, the books that you ain't colored the pictures in yet. You'll have Bible commentaries. You'll have all these books about the Bible. And I'll say, you read your Bible? Well, no, I haven't read it. I haven't read it all the way through. Well, you got these books. Well, I love to read about the Bible. I don't read about steak.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't read about no steak, yeah. Buddy. But put one in front of me, and I'll tell you what, man. I mean, you throw it in the air in our house, it won't hit the floor.
Amen.
That'd be one of them gip guys, boy. I mean, they'll grab that sucker. We'll be like a couple of dogs fighting over in the middle of the room. I mean, it ain't. We don't sit there. I'm reading about steak today. Oh, it comes from cows. Huh. Buddy, we'll read a book about a book we won't read. Now, you guys, I don't know, is there anybody here in the military? Anyway, all you Army guys, anyway. Now, I want you to think about this. Let's say you're out to sea. You're gone for 6 months. And you've been telling all the guys on the ship about how your wife is so wonderful and she's such a good lady. One day, you get a letter. I mean, man, it is. It's hearted and perfumed and everything else and XX and OZOs all over, you know. And these guys say, hey, man. And they're not goading you. They really believe that you love your wife. I mean, you have talked about her. She's such a wonderful woman. And so they say, well, man, tell me what your wife has to say. And you say, okay. And you get it. It's 10 pages, both sides. And a guy comes back about an hour later and says, hey, man, what'd your wife have to say? You know, I mean, I know you love her. He says, well, you say, well, I read... Did you read that letter from your wife yet? Well, I don't have it with me right now. I've got a guy, he's putting a wide margin around it, and he's interleafing it for me, so that when I do read it, if I want to make any notes, I'll have some paper. You had no sense of reading it and wasting time. God forbid I have to read it twice. Guy comes in, say, what's this old black book with the gold edge around the page? Oh, that's that letter from my wife. Man, that guy did a nice job, didn't he? Yeah, did you read it yet? Well, no, man, it's so nice. I hate to mark in it. You come in the next day, the guy says, hey, I noticed that book, that letter your wife wrote in here. What happened to it? Oh, I got one of the guys. He took it. He's reading, and he's writing a commentary about it. I'm going to read the commentary. I'll find out what my wife said. You come in the next day. The guy come in the next day, say, hey, what about that letter? I say, well, one of the other fellows, he's reading it on the tape, and I'm going to get the tapes. I'll tell you what you'll never do. You'll never convince that individual that you love your wife.
Amen.
You'll never convince him. You can't tell me you love this book and not spend time in it.
Amen.
I'll tell you, don't you sit there and say you love that book with your mouth, because it's what you do with it during the week that speaks louder than what you say. I'm telling you, if you can consistently stay away from your Bible, don't you shoot your mouth off about loving it.
Yeah.
I know you believe it. You just believe something you don't ever read. I talked to a guy one time, his name was Mike, and Mike believed the King James Bible was the Word of God. He really did. He just didn't think you had to read it. That's crazy, man. That's like believing in steak and thinking you don't have to eat it. That's where all the fun starts. I told him, I said, Mike, I said, you believe every word in this book is God's words? He said, I sure do. I said, King James, yeah. I said, Mike, have you ever read it cover to cover one time? He said, no. I said, Mike, I said, do you realize you're not qualified to answer the first question? How can you say, I believe every word in the Bible is the word of God, if you haven't looked at every one with your eyes? I said, did you ever think it might say something in here you don't agree with? I said, did you know that right in the middle of this book, it says Mike is an idiot? He said, it does not. I said, how do you know? It is only reasonable that we know our Bible.
Amen.
It's only reasonable. I mean, you can get something from all the commentaries you get. You get something from all the sermons you get. You'll get something from all the teaching you get in this church. But I'm telling you that somewhere along the line, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to be reading your Bible, and all of a sudden something's going to stand out, and it's going to make you grow up, and it's going to open up your eyes, and it's going to thrill your heart. And I'm telling you, people, it is only reasonable that we study this book and spend some time. You turn off your TV and turn off your radio and close up all your magazines and quit trying to live up some other standard. You'd have time to read this book.
Yes.
You'd have time.
Amen.
There's a mechanic in here. You didn't start studying mechanics and know it in an hour. And the longer you've been doing mechanical work, the better reputation you have for being a real mechanic. I'm telling you, there ain't no sense in us shooting our mouths off by believing a book that we don't read, we don't study. I mean, you're going to have to leave office. But if I read my Bible time, I won't have time. So what? Well, yeah, but I want to. Who cares? You want the news? You want news? You'll live through it.
Amen.
You'll manage without whatever you got to manage.
Yeah.
You'll make it. People, it's only reasonable that we study this book. It's only reasonable we know some doctrine. And not just the stuff, I don't mean it bad, not just the stuff, you know, what we want to do is we always want to come and get somebody, have to take the spoon and put it in our mouth, and, you know, and whenever you got a question, you know what you do? Oh, Brother Gibson, what's the answer to this? Well, you lazy, stinking bum. I'll tell you what, if we sit down at a table and there is steak, you got one in front of you and I got one in front of me, you got it, pal. I ain't going to cut up feed it to you, neither will God.
Yeah.
If you starve to death at that point, it's your fault. Don't sit down, look at it, and gripe about the fat and the gristle and the tendon and the bone. Man, there's a lot of meat in that.
Amen.
Sit there and say, well, you know, I have trouble with these and that. Shut up and eat your steak.
Amen.
Amen.
But it's reasonable that we study a book.
Amen.
That has so changed our lives. Man, that book, I mean, you think about this. Let's just suppose this is true. Let's just suppose that God sent his only begotten son down here. Let's just say that really happened. Let's just suppose that that son was a man by the name of Jesus Christ, and let's just say that he lived a perfect life, and that after a 3.5-year ministry on this earth, he was crucified and paid for your sins and mine. Let's say that happened. Let's just say that after 3 nights and 3 days, he came back out of the grave, and that was resurrection, and he ascended into heaven. And let's just suppose that this is true. Let's just say that if you ask him to, he'll save you that fast. You know that if all that's true, and you don't have a Bible, you don't know it.
Amen.
People, you say all the remarkable things about what Jesus Christ did, and I believe what I just told you is true. But what I just told you, I wouldn't know without that book. I didn't conjure that up, and nobody glows. Listen, man, you live in a trailer. Nobody glows in your bedroom. All right? Ain't no room for them. Okay? You glow in our bedroom, you got to be standing outside and lean your nose against the glass, brother. Ain't no room for glowing in a bedroom. I didn't get it from a divine revelation. What I just told you, I got out of the same book you got in your lap. If you couldn't be saved, if salvation was by grace through the blood of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit was sitting right beside you right now, waiting for the opportunity to come in, if you just ask him, you still couldn't be saved if there wasn't a Bible to tell you there to ask him. You'll thank God for that book.
Amen.
I tell people this, Jesus saves, the Bible changes. I talked to a guy last week up in Massachusetts. I know I told him what he didn't want to hear. He's telling me how he got saved and how he wanted all this to happen. Well, let's change his life. I said, reading your Bible. Well, I get all them excuses. Play the violin for me and give me all that. I'll tell you something. You know what nobody wants to do? Nobody wants to grow up.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to spend the time to grow. Nobody wants to spend the time in that book. We all want it to be a magic wand. Hey, I'll tell you what you'll do. You'd rather go to 4 years of Bible college and have and blame your education or credit your education to somebody else than read the book God gave you.
Amen.
That book has changed your life. And if you got something in your life right now that needs changing, don't come up to me and wait and think I'm going to quote you four verses, put a little Bible Band-Aid on your boo-boo that everything is going to be okay now from now on. I'm going to tell you, your whole problem is you need to grow up, and you can sit here Sunday morning and Sunday night. Yes, you will grow. But I'll tell you what, you read that book every day, you'll grow a lot faster.
Amen.
It's only reasonable to study this book. That's reasonable. I'm not talking about fanaticism. I'm not talking about fanaticism. I didn't say, you have to stand out in the middle of traffic and read 100 pages. I said, you can stay home, sit in your own living room and read 10.
Thank God.
How's that? Which one sounds more reasonable to you? You know what kills me? I go in churches and I'll say, read 10 pages of the Bible a day. You would think I told them to take their clothes off and run downtown. I'm talking Bible-believing Christian. Now, I'm going to show you. You want to see a wicked heart? How many of you? I like to read. All right. Before I got saved, I did not like to read. When I got saved, the church I got saved in sent me a letter. It said, "Now that you're saved, God, your Father, you ought to do three things every day. Number one, you ought to talk to your Father every day. That's through prayer. You ought to pray every day. Number two, you ought to let your Father talk back to you. That's through the book He wrote. You ought to read it every day. Number three, you ought to witness about your Father. You ought to tell somebody about Him every day." I threw that letter across the room. I was so mad. I say, nobody tell me I'm reading some book every day. I'd like to read. I had to develop. I had to cultivate an interest and a desire in reading in my life. Now I like to read. I like to read. Now I read with life on the road and things like that, my lifestyle, I don't get to read as much extra reading. And I'm not saying it's all saved reading. I mean, come on. Look, if you read Stephen King, buy a wood burner and put him in. That kind of garbage is out of hell. Stephen King has made the statement that he is inspired by demons when he writes, and I'm telling you, he is. All right? And you say, well, I like it. Well, I mean, you might like dope before you got saved too. You got rid of that, didn't you?
Amen.
That guy is perverted.
Yeah.
And you read that, you're going to be perverted.
Yeah.
But now look, I like to read. You like to read. How many of you also like to read? Let me see your hand. Come on. The rest of you just color pictures, right? All right. Now, you just raise your hands. You know what you've done? I'll tell you what you've done. You sat down with an uninspired book. I don't care. Listen, you say, well, it was a Christian book. Still inspired. Right?
Yeah.
There's only one book that's inspired, right?
Yeah.
I wrote a couple books. They're all uninspired. Every book but this book is not inspired of God. So I don't care if it was your dad that wrote it. I don't care if it's your favorite Christian preacher that wrote it. I don't care if it's Lewis L'Amour that wrote it. Or Tom Clancy. It's uninspired. You know what you've done? You sat down with an uninspired book. And you've knocked out 60 and 70 pages in a night. Some of you went to bed a lot later than you planned on it. And you know what you said? I just couldn't put it down. Right? How many of that's ever happened to you? Come on, be honest. All right. Put your hands down. But I come in and I tell you read 10 pages of this book every day and you think I'm being unreasonable. You don't mind reading 60 or 70 pages of Tom Clancy, 100 pages of Tom Clancy, or Lewis L'Amour, or Grace Lewis DeHill, or whatever, ladies, as long as you end up crying. But you don't mind reading some uninspired author for 100 pages in a night. Somebody comes by and tells you read the only inspired book, the one you love, read it 10 pages a day, and spend some other time, not just reading time, spend some other time studying it. I read 30 pages a day. I read a proverb for the date. You should read a proverb for the date. I read 20 pages of the Old Testament, 10 pages of the New Testament, and I do not study my Bible during that time. If something stands out, I'll mark it down. But you know what our problem is? We always got this Acts 17 society. We want to tell or hear some new thing.
Yeah.
It's like, well, usually you think God spoke for the Gibson. Wait till you see what he gave me. That's all we think about. I'm telling you, when I say read it, I mean read it.
Amen.
And it is not unreasonable. It is only reasonable to spend time in a book that you claim changed your life. That's only reasonable. That's not unreasonable. Look with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now this will be tough. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now I'm going to read a passage here. I'm going to read a portion. Verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind. Must have been reading to a Baptist church. Writing to a Baptist church, because it sure ain't one mind. Having compassion one of another. Yeah, that sure ain't no Baptist church. Love as brethren. Well, be pitiful. Now, I know some Baptists are pitiful.
Yeah.
Be courteous. Look what it says, verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrawise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Look at verse 13. Listen. Look up here for a second. I never like to hear preachers say, underline that verse. I just don't like somebody from a pulpit telling me what I got to mark in my Bible. Well, if I was going to tell you to underline one, 13 is a classic. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? How worried are you about this election? Well, who is he that harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? How worried are you about the recession? Well, who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which... How worried are you about the person that is out to get you, even if they're saved? Who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Keep reading. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always, look, to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. You should be reasonable in your salvation. You should be reasonable in your service. You should be reasonable in your study. You should be reasonable in your security. Not your eternal security. I believe in eternal security. All right? I mean, I am eternally saved, brother. I got saved. I haven't misplaced it for even an hour since I got saved. You couldn't lose it if you tried. I know some that are trying.
Yeah.
But this ain't talking about your eternal security. Did you ever notice we always quote that, be ready to answer for the reason of the hope that's within you. And we always say, that's because you got a hope of heaven. That ain't what the passage is about. The passage is about your security right here on this earth. Now, none of us men want to say this, but there's things going on in this world right now that scare us. I really believe that this election, I think you're going to see, if Clinton gets in, I believe 4 years from now there'll be people in jail for things that for breaking laws that ain't even on the books right now. Because you put a liberal democratic socialistic Congress with a liberal democratic socialistic president, and I'm telling you, you aren't going to be able to use the word queer probably 4 years from now. You probably won't be able to say it. You just take the Bill of Rights and pitch it. Right now, there's a congressman that says he wants to amend, retract the Second Amendment, your right to bear arms. He wants to retract it right out of the Bill of Rights. That may happen next 4 years. If that don't scare you, you're crazy. But if you let it direct your life, you're crazier.
Yeah.
If you let it steal your sleep, if you let it burn holes in your stomach walls, man, you're nuts.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what this book says? Now look, somebody ain't going to like you. And the more you look different from this world and talk different and don't laugh at their jokes and carry your Bible and you witness to them, the more they're not going to like you. And right now, Christianity is not only not accepted by this nation, it is only and by a hair's breadth tolerated. And what you saw happen in L.A. a few months ago, that spirit is in check right now toward us.
Yeah.
And all it's going to take is one thing, push this country over the edge, and we're going to be marked people. And it won't be a riot in a city here or a city there, but it'll be, let's go get them.
Yeah.
And you know who them is. It's you. You say, well, that scares me. You ought not let it scare you. Where is your security? Your security is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute. I didn't say. You know what the Baptist gospel is? The Baptist gospel is that before anything bad ever happens to you, God will stop it. You know, if a Baptist wrote the Bible, Daniel chapter 3 would be different. Because that's where the three Hebrew children be about to be thrown in the fire. And just as they're carried up there, somebody would deliver them before they ever got in the fire. We don't, listen, I'll tell you, you know as well as I do. We don't believe in fire delivery. We believe in delivery just before it. You know, God will never let you go bankrupt. God will never let this happen to you. God will never let that happen to you. You just get saved, serve God. Those things never happen to you. Don't you kid yourself.
Amen.
One greatest Christian ever lived ended up in jail. Ended up losing his head. What I'll tell you is this, people, you get it straight. Nothing this book ever said that God would keep the storms of life away from you. He said He would keep you through the storms of life.
Thank God.
You ought to be able to go to sleep with a world that hates your guts. And when the world around you knows how they feel about you, they're going to look at you and you're whistling and having a good old time and you're not bothered. Somebody's going to say, so-and-so, he's out to get you. Oh, yeah, I know. Doesn't that worry you? No, I'm not worried. Man, why are you so secure? Oh, well, I'm glad you asked that.
Yeah.
There's nuts out there. I mean, there's nuts, boy. I mean, there's some real wackos. I was talking to this one guy. Now, he's whacked out. He's a preacher. But I'll tell you what, man. I mean, you know, they could use his head for the strategic oil reserve. I mean, it's empty. There's nothing there. And he was telling me one time, now this guy believes that the birds can hear and see, and they send messages to somebody else so that they can listen in on our conversations. All right, now that's where this guy's coming from. I mean, can you imagine talking to somebody and having a bird land in the bush, go, shh, shh, brother, shh. You go, what's the matter? The bird. They're listening. Right. And this guy told me this. He said, Brother Gip, he said, they've got a machine. They've got a device. He said, and they'll be in your services. If you're here today, good luck. He said, all they've got to do is get your frequency. And he said, they can stop your heart. He said, you'll be preaching, and one of them guys gets your frequency, and he'll push that button, and you'll drop dead right at the pulpit. Nice little boy, I've sent him my itinerary several times, hoping he can send him by. I'll get to heaven. But see, I'm a little warped. I'm a little warped. Here's what I see. I see this guy here. He's in the congregation. And he's looking up here thinking, goodbye, Gip. And three rows behind him, somebody goes, And two rows in front of him goes, oh! I mean, who else frequency is he getting while he's looking for mine, man? You know, he'd be dropping people all over the place, man, kill himself. Now, if you think I'll worry about that guy, wherever he is, I think his batteries are too low to be a threat to me, all right? People, this book says if God wants you to suffer, whatever way it is, you ought to suffer as a Christian. That's an honor. First thing I'm going to tell you about is don't worry about what you imagine is going to happen. Man, I don't know about your pastor. Boy, when I was pastoring, man, I've had people come in. I mean, they were worried when things were going good. I've had them say, well, I'm really worried, preacher. Why? Well, things are going good, you know, and boy, you know, when they're going good. Yeah? I wouldn't know. Things are never gone good for me. I've told them, man. I said, look, man, you know what I'd do? I mean, I've had them say, well, I'm just afraid that this will happen, and then if that happens, this will happen, and then that'll happen, and of course, then that could happen, and this, and then it'll affect me. What do you think I ought to do? You know what I tell them? This is my exact advice. They said, what do you think? I said, I think you ought to go home and mow your grass. Do something with your time. Because I said, if all you can worry about is what you conjure up in your head, pal, you're nuts. I mean, if things, you know, and I like these, oh, here's, and there's probably some of these here. Well, you know, I'm really worried. God did something good for me. And so, you know, whenever God does something good, he always does something bad. I'm glad I don't have your God.
Amen.
Your God was the first one to put razor blades in candy bars, right? I mean, wait, I just imagine your God, you know. You ever give your kid, you know, Christmas comes, a birthday comes, you say, here's your present, and they open it up, and they go, gee, thanks, Dad. And you go, yeah, you like it? Yeah. Well, good. I love you. I don't ever give you anything good. I give you something bad, too. Dad, I love the bully down the street that's been picking on me. Why don't you go take care of him? My God, the Bible says,
amen, brother.
He giveth his blessing and addeth no sorrow with
him.
Amen. Man, there isn't a father here that wouldn't be smacked in the mouth if you gave your son a present or your daughter a present, and as soon as they opened it and looked at it and said they liked it, they looked at you and said, now what are you going to do bad? Right? Hey, there's enough devil, there's enough world to take care of, to mess up things for you. God ain't going to mess you up. But I'm telling you this morning, you should be secure in Jesus Christ. When the cloud's up, when the trouble's on the horizon, when you think you have something to worry about, and you do, you know what you ought to be able to do? You ought to be able to be secure and say, look, whatever comes, I know I'm saved. Man, I ride them planes. First time I got on a plane, first time I had to fly to a meeting. So I said, I heard where, if they said, where do you want to sit? I'm going to sit right here. So I sit in that chair. I'd like that chair to go. I'm not going to get on an airplane. Anyway, I read someplace where if you sit on the back of the airplane in a wreck, you have a chance of surviving. They said, where would you like to sit? I said, I'd like to sit over the wing. You know why? I figure that's the heaviest part. I want to be the bottom of the crater. I'm not a back air man, live through, look like a burnt marshmallow man. I love, you know, have kids scream when they see my face, man. I say, when this sucker goes in, bud, I mean, I don't want to linger on around the periphery of the crater, brother. I want the heaviest part. I want to hit hard. I mean, all they got to do, they have to bury me. I'm already 3-6 feet down. Just fill in the hole. Most of me is right there. People say, don't you get scared in your airplane? I say, man, no. And when I do, I don't worry about it. Because I figure, hey, the guy's got to get himself up. He's got to get himself down. And if God tries to take me home from here, I just got a head start on you. I'll get my side of the story in first. I know people that worry about things that have never happened. You look at yourself. Now, wait, you think about it. Last year, what have you been afraid was going to happen and that it never did? When you look at that, here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about how much time you wasted.
Amen.
I want to think of how much anxiety you wasted.
Amen.
You understand? You're popping Tums and sleeping pills and everything else over something that never, ever happened.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You know what I'm telling you? I'm telling you, if I were you, I wouldn't take your credibility as far as tragedy wouldn't be very good with me. I've had myself worry about some things to the point where I quit listening to myself anymore. I don't believe me. And if I were you, I'd tell you don't believe you. But you got a book. And there's certainly, I bet you all got a verse or two that just still your heart, comfort your heart.
Yeah.
If you got that, you'll have security that this world doesn't understand. And it's all wrapped up there in verse 13. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? You should be reasonable in your security. Your eternal security, but I'm talking about your security on this earth.
Thank God, brother.
You should be able to face this world and say, whatever comes, it's the will of God. And I know, listen, I don't care how mad at me he gets, he ain't leaving me. He didn't leave Paul. He ain't leaving me. And for sure, 100 years from tonight, I'll be in heaven. And 1,000 years from tonight, I'll look back at this and I'll think, my, wasn't that quick? Say what, you mean that time in jail? Oh no, the whole life. Right? Here's your life. Here's your life. Blip. Here's your trouble. Blip. Right? Man, I mean, your problems are a speck within a speck. You know what you do? You'll say, I'm embarrassed. I look back here. Look how worried I was. Isn't that all? Look, I was fretting over things that never happened. I conjured up in my mind, this might happen, then this could happen, and what if this happened, and oh no, you know, what if that... And who is he that will harm you if it be followers of that which is good? I'd like you to stand with your heads bowed. Your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I think we should be reasonable in our salvation. If you're here this morning and you've not been saved, maybe you never heard it before. And if you never heard it before, I can't gripe. But if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, and you've heard it before, then you're unreasonable. Don't talk to us about being unreasonable. You're unreasonable. If you leave here without Jesus Christ, you're unreasonable. A chance to have your sins cleaned. A chance to have your past forgiven and forgotten. If you would turn your back on Jesus Christ and leave here this morning, you're unreasonable. Is there anybody here that would say this morning? Preacher, listen. If I died right now, I am not 100% sure that I'd go to heaven. I don't know for a fact that if I died now, I'd go to heaven. But I'd like to have that taken care of. Here is my hand. Just lift your hand straight up. Straight up. All right. Maybe I'm talking to somebody this morning. You're saved. There's some sin in your life. I'm not talking about wicked, terrible, horrible sin. I'm just talking about something you've cultivated, something you've been taking care of, something you haven't confessed, something that the fact is you don't even want to forsake. You're unreasonable if you don't bring your sin to the cross of Jesus Christ, let His blood make you white as snow. If you're here this morning, you're saved, and you're not studying that book, then you're studying something else. Whatever you're studying isn't worth your time. If you're here this morning and you're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved and you're not serving Him, you're wasting your time with whoever or whatever you're serving. And some of you this morning, you pillow your head at night worried about something you got no business worrying about. Even if it's a legitimate threat to you, you've got no business worrying about it. Some of you, your concern and your worry is an affront and an insult to your Savior. When you worry about that stuff, what you're saying in essence is, God, I don't believe you can take care of me. Now, if God can't take care of you, man, don't bother to come back to church. I wouldn't serve that God. I wouldn't waste my time. Don't be here every night, man. If I didn't think my God could take care of me, I wouldn't be here every night. Why come and worship a God that can't take care of you? But if He can, why waste your time worrying? Just a moment, I'm going to have a word of prayer. Some of you God's spoken to about something. You need to take care of it this morning. Maybe about cleaning up your sin. Maybe about your service. Maybe about your time in this book. Maybe about your security. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for your goodness and your grace. And I thank you, God, that this is a church that offers an opportunity to get right before we leave. I thank you for an invitation. That's a good time of a service, Father. When you could speak to somebody during the service, but then at the invitation, before they could even leave here and forget about it, you give them the opportunity to deal with it. God, I pray some people will make some changes this morning, God. In Jesus Christ's name I ask it. Amen.